I'm getting my money the fastest. Memos and facts and shredded up documents. Slush funds through the corrupt continents. But they don't want me indicted, cause they don't want my dirty laundry aired when I fight it. Don't get my lawyers excited, cause what good is a law if you can't rewrite it? I got CIA traitors, dictators, so y'all whistleblowers and haters.
I got your country in my pocket.
Got in the ocean coasting with the sails out. Hey America, thanks for the bailouts. I made off at the Banco Ambrosiano. Got away scot-free like El Vaticano. Activist, activist, get mad at me.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William K. Black, who is the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disasters of the 1980s. Currently, he is a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. Welcome to Background Briefing, William K. Black.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And the Senate released a report on Monday, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, and on the extent to which the global British bank HSBC has been engaged in laundering money for the Mexican drug cartels, dealing with Iran, Syria, and Cuba, circumventing U.S. sanctions, and doing business with a Saudi bank that was an early benefactor of Al-Qaeda. You know, what's left, Bill? I mean, stealing candy from kids? I mean, what worse things could these people be up to?
Stick around. Yeah, you know, our mantra continues to be, if you don't look, you don't find. And what this discloses is the agencies have been controlled by people who are anti-regulators. And so they have not found, and we've had to rely on the Senate. This is Senator Levin's committee, which, as with Washington Mutual, provided the real disclosures. It's an absolute demonstration of how badly the regulators have fallen.
And this, and specifically, are the regulators at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Apparently, they have been asleep at the switch since 2001 up until 2010. And there's a new guy, a new sheriff in town, Thomas Curry. He's taken over in April. He testified to the Senate today saying he'd do a better job. What do you think of him?
Well, it'd be hard to do a worse job. So that's certainly possible. Curry is at least a professional regulator, which is the first in a very long time for the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, which I've shortened OCC, regulates the largest banks in the United States, the national banks. But it did not used to regulate HSBC. That was done by the Fed. And the Fed had found violations of, wait for it, money laundering at HSBC when it was cracking down there. And so HSBC changed regulators, which is something you can still do too often, to try to get weaker regulation, and it succeeded at the OCC. The OCC has certainly not shown anything yet, but Curry is new. Because the Republicans stalled the ability to appoint anyone to as a successor to Dugan, who was a someone probably no one has heard of, but it was a complete disaster.
So a lot of the top executives of HSBC apologized to the Senate hearing today with Carl Levin in charge and Tom Coburn on the Republican side. Apparently, the real testimony that the people are waiting for is from Stuart Levy, who joined the HSBC Bank in January as chief legal officer. He's due to testify, and he had been the Treasury Department's top official on terrorism finance from 2004 to 2011. During the time when he's supposed to be involved in the cracking down of HSBC for its Iran-related money laundering or circumvention of sanctions. What do you know about him?
Well, what we know about him is that this is what happens all too often with regulators. The job offer you're most likely to get is from the place that is the sleaziest. because they want to use your name and reputation as, well, you know, back off. We can't be doing anything wrong. We have one of your top people. So to go through this organization, one of them announced his resignation, but only from his position, not from employment, at the hearing, departing from his prepared text. He was chosen because the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency had said that the head, his bigger boss, was incompetent to conduct these activities. So the incompetent guy hired this incompetent guy who's just stepped down but kept his salary. So he doesn't have to do the work, but he keeps getting paid. The another guy that testified is the guy that allowed the Mexican drug operations to occur and said, well, you know, yeah, I learned all kinds of terrible things about what we were doing. Some of it made my hair stand on end, but there was just too many frauds for me to crack down successfully. So they promoted him. And now he's in charge of Asia and such. So you can imagine what's happening there. If you took everything at the nicest possible way to HSBC, then they've just proved what everyone has been saying for a very long time. These institutions are too big to regulate. They're too big to sanction. They're too big to fail. But most of all, they're too big to manage. It would be vastly more efficient, and they would have at least a chance at honesty if they were shrunk massively. And HSBC is a trillion-dollar institution, to give you an idea of scale.
Again, I'm speaking with William K. Black, who's a former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. He investigated the savings and loans disaster of the 1980s and put a lot of people in jail. He's the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007 and the author of the bestseller, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. So the fine that they're expected to pay from the Justice Department investigation, that's chump change. I mean, the most recent fine, apparently whatever they're going to charge is going to be a record dwarfing the $619 million that the Dutch bank ING agreed to pay in June to settle similar accusations.
Yeah, all of these settlements are for chump change. They sound large, but compared again to the scale of the institution, nobody thinks that they're going to change the behavior for the good. By the way, the one that was also announced just last week, and that was Wells Fargo, with the the largest dollar amount, right, forever in a discrimination lawsuit. Well, that isn't even real money. That one just says they'll make, X hundreds of millions of dollars of loans. Well, they would have made X hundreds of millions of dollars of loans anyway. So this is a game. Once they agree to settle, they structure the numbers so that they sound large.
Well, but I guess it's one thing to settle for ripping off people or not complying with your obligations to clients and et cetera, or charging people too much, or all of the sort of routine chiseling that goes on. But it's another thing.
Fargo was seeking out Latinos and blacks to discriminate against. That's what they settled.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm saying that you would think that these revelations involving HSBC that say that they laundered billions of dollars for drug cartels and for terrorists and for states that the United States have sanctioned, like Syria and Iran and Cuba, you would think that all those red-blooded patriots would be up in arms about this.
Yeah, and it's barely a blip in both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. I checked just before going on. And indeed, it's not even structured that way. It's structured about the guy announcing his semi-resignation. That's the news, as opposed to the massive violation. So if this was a small in the mall type entity that moved money, right? And it did one bazillionth of this, it would be out of business. There would be federal marshals. There would be, literally 30 FBI agents coming in and such. It would be shut down, and the people would be indicted. And they would be actually tried, and they would actually be convicted, and they would be sentenced to meaningful terms.
Well, what about that?
That would be if they sent $15,000 to Saudi Arabia illegally.
Right, but I mean, let's just talk about Saudi Arabia then. The HSBC executives apparently have been doing business with the Al Rajhi Bank in Saudi Arabia, even after they were told that its owners had links to organizations financing terrorism, and the bank's founder was an early financial benefactor of Al Qaeda. I would have thought that would have gotten somebody's attention.
Well, you know what happened at the hearing today with regard to that? That official testified, and he apologized for his intemperate language that he used with his subordinates to force them to do this illegal transaction.
Say that again. I'm dumbfounded.
He apologized for being harsh in his communications with his subordinates, in which he forced them to do this deal over their objections. It's so British, it's wonderful. They don't apologize for sending the money to the terrorists. It's for being rude to subordinates. The real sin.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm too busy to watch television during the day. This sounds like it. You know, it's better than soap opera. This stuff. I mean, this is the testimony today before the Levin's permanent subcommittee on investigations.
Yes.
And then we're looking forward to, I guess, the testimony coming from the guy that the Dracula in charge of the blood bank guy, the guy that they just hired that used to be in charge at the Treasury Department of following dirty money, and HSBC, the global British bank, have hired him presumably so that they can not be caught the next time, right?
Well, so that people would think that there nothing bad could happen there.
I see. Well,
and you know everybody that you're dealing with, so you field the phone calls and you ask them about their wife or their husband and, you know, their kids, baseball team, and you all get lovey-dovey and such. And the hope is that will reduce the regulators coming after you. And it's clear they would have absolutely gotten away with this but for Senator Levin. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency was going to let them get away with this.
Again, I'm speaking with William K. Black, who's a former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. He investigated the savings and loans disaster of the 1980s and put a lot of people in jail. He's the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007 and the author of the bestseller, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. So what happened to the old 363 formula that used to govern banking? In other words, you get the money from the Fed at 3%, you loan it out to your customers at 6%, and you're on the golf course by 3 p.m.
Well, these days you own the golf course, so you can go on the golf course anytime you want.
And you get the money from the Fed at nothing, and you lend it out to customers at, what, 20% or 18.5% or whatever?
No, you don't loan it out to customers. You sit on the money.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, in terms of credit cards, yeah.
Yeah, essentially you buy bonds of Brazil and places like that. And then you talk about how much smarter you are than everyone and how much harder you work than everyone and how much how superior you are because you're willing to take risk compared to the other folks and complain if they complain about how much money you make.
And if some seedy-looking guy in a white linen suit carrying a large suitcase stuffed with $100 bills comes in, you eagerly take his money. Or if he's some Saudi banker associated or one of the early funders of Al-Qaeda, or, you know, clearly an agent of Iran, or one of the countries on the so-called, U.S. hit list, the evil, what was it called, the Axis of Evil?
Axis of Evil.
Right. I mean, we get into conniptions about what a criminal state North Korea is and how they counterfeit U.S. currency and have all kinds of rackets. We know why they do it, because they're dead broke. But the idea that the United States tolerates and the banking world is doing far worse, and somehow or other they end up with a slap on the wrist in front of a Senate committee, and they get to have a little mea culpa. And I don't know, are any of these guys going to jail? I don't think so.
Well, they could, but that would require prosecution, of course, and the Justice Department doesn't do that much anymore with regard to the big banks, and it hasn't all this decade. Decade isn't young, but for 10 years, roughly, since the Enron-era prosecutions, they've largely given it up, except in the insider trading realm. So to fit in with this, the most incredible answer in the history of regulation occurred, and that was they asked the Federal Reserve, why didn't you do more when you learned that LIBOR was this huge violation and cartel? And the answer they got back from the chief legal officer for the Fed was, or the New York Fed was, it wasn't a safety and soundness concern, so we don't have jurisdiction. So felonies are no longer a safety and soundness concern.
So it's okay then for the banking cartels to rip off municipalities, cities, and steal from the, and by the way, a lot of them are going broke. Not surprisingly, if they're being ripped off by these bankers who are in collusion with traders to get huge fees at the expense of municipalities trying to issue bonds, which they're discounting.
Oh yeah, which they also rigged the bids.
That's what I mean. They rigged the bid so they get the cities get less money.
They rigged LIBOR, but they also rigged the bids to actually do the bond selling. So they get you every inch of the way. Yes, I mean, you've just shown that HSBC is the hub of the Axis of Evil, right? It's what everyone went through to provide money and take money to make the corrupt people even richer and more dangerous. And if anybody else did this but elite bankers, they'd be in prison, they would be picked up, as I say, they would be hounded into the bowels of the earth by their neighbors as the scum of the earth and such. And you can see none of these things happen. These are all people that go home after these scandals and are invited, you know, stay in all the clubs. I mean, have you even heard of somebody being kicked? You grew up in England. Has anyone even been kicked out of a club?
No, I didn't grow up in England, and I certainly wasn't invited to join a club. But I'm descended from convicts from Australia.
Oh, that's right, Australia. Right, sorry.
But I must say that convicts don't behave in this way, not like bankers. I thank you for joining us, William K. Black.
Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with William K. Black, who is the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. He investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s and put a lot of bankers in jail. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007. He's the author of the bestseller, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how the Federal Elections Commission apparently have destroyed an enormous number of files on some of the biggest donors out there. Shit, they in hot pursuit. Clones on phones, sniffed out drones, never made they wrong. I know two
the jealous, body lovers, crying fronters, lies and cover ups, self promoters, slippery slopers, speculate, hella hate, be full steady, I.E.